Well, I called Jeff Smith Friday morning. I waited a while. I didn't want to make sure he was up, but anyhow, I asked him, may I speak today? Now, I had asked the elders sometime back to be praying about me bringing a series of some messages sometime this year, but this isn't one of them. This is something new that came to me earlier this week, and I think it's relative to our fellowship. It's relative to us today. It's been relative to the church over the ages. And it's still going somewhat today, and I think it's relative. So I'm talking directly to us this morning. And I want you to realize that as I start this message. If you want to return, book of Acts, ninth chapter, 31 verse. I'm only going to read the one verse. Now, my translation here says, then the churches throughout that area, churches, but that's the S should be left off. It should read, then the church throughout all of Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace. Now, the reason we shouldn't put the S in there's only one church. There's not churches. There's only one church, and that is the church of Jesus Christ. And he's the one that's building that church. So now then, all these churches throughout the area had peace, and they were exalted, and they walked in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and they were multiplied. Now, the five things I want to bring out here this morning. They had peace. Praise the Lord. They had peace. And they walked, and they were edified, and they walked in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and they were multiplied. Now, the first word here is peace. Some translations have rest. That's not the right word. Rest, when I read the word rest, I think of Hebrews entering into the rest of the Lord. They had peace. That means if they were having peace now, they had trouble somewhere along the line. There have been troubled times. So it is today. There is times when we have our troubles and then peace of the Lord comes. But they had some troubles here, and they started internally right there in their fellowship. There was a guy sitting there one morning during the service. His name was Ananias. And Ananias was sitting there living a lie. This is a serious charge here. And when he was questioned about this lie he was living, he didn't confess up to it, and he died, sitting right there. He died. And the young man, it says, carried him out. And a little bit later, his wife comes in, Sapphira. Did I say that right? And she was challenged with this thing, and she lied, and she died. Now, that's a problem. But I don't mean to make light of this, but let me tell you something. If I'd been sitting in that front row that morning, next time I come, I'd been sitting in the back row. Because that's not the kind of thing I want to see going on. But there was a serious thing. They relied unto the Holy Spirit. So that was a troubled time. And the Bible says in both cases that fear, not the fear of the God, but the fear of problems and the fear of being defeated entered their hearts. There was great fear among those people because of that thing that happened. Also, by this time, this is a young church. By this time, some of them had been imprisoned. And they were in prison for preaching the gospel of Christ. And then we have Stephen. He was stoned. They took him out of the city. They stoned him and was stoned to death. There is some good news about Stephen. It's recorded that when he went to heaven, Jesus was standing there welcoming him. So good news there. And then there was Paul. Paul had now started prosecuting this young church. And in fact, just a few verses before this, he had gotten some legal papers, and he was going out to arrest, and he did arrest and had Christians imprisoned. So that early church had its early problems. And so it has been over the years. Now, just a little bit of history about us. We had not been meeting too long. In fact, it was about the time that the Lord graciously gave us this building right here. we had a man show up and he claimed to be a prophet. And some of us had a little bit of problem with that because I don't trust a self-proclaimed prophet. But anyhow, he claimed to be a prophet and he claimed that the Lord sent him to us. And one time he even got up and gave a prophecy. And some of us didn't agree with the prophecy, and the elders, we took him aside and talked to him and told him from then on he was not allowed to give any prophecies unless they gave it to the elders first. And they would determine. They would determine. So this guy kind of got a little bit upset with us, but he was a brother. He was saved. He's a brother. And he's still a brother today. He moved, never mind where he moved, but he's still a brother today. But the brother fell in error there, and he began to be interpreted things differently. But anyhow, the brother stayed with us a while, and then he finally left. But that was a serious problem for us at the time. I don't think we realized how serious, but for someone to come in and say they're a prophet and they're not, and then you see there were some people was thought maybe he wouldn't, maybe he was. So it brought some hard times a little bit. But anyhow, he was not a prophet. And that situation was settled. But not long after that, we had another brother who got this theory that the Lord was speaking to him about me. And he would come up and he'd say, "The Lord has told me." That's serious. Because a lot of people believed him, and when he wasn't right, it brought confusion. Because he wasn't always right. And as a matter of fact, he was very seldom right. So he was brought in, called in, sit down, and told what to do, and praise God, he did it. But I didn't know. He repented, and he never did it again. So there you go. You see, over the ages, we're going to have times of unrest. We're going to have them. But there's peace. But that's where we learn our peace is. Our peace is not in agreement. Our peace is in Jesus Christ. See? And that's where these people's peace was. So there is different problems. And there is times that we're going to have these things. Now the next thing we want to talk about, they were edified. Now you look that word up, it means to be built up. And and that's exactly what it means. It means to be built up, but not be built up spiritually. Now I have a Ephesians 2:20. Hey, Kurt, look that up in your Bible and read it to us. Ephesians 2:20 and 21 and 22. Somebody else look up 1 Peter 2, 4 and 5 for me with a loud voice. Hope you look it up. 1 Peter 2, 4, and 5. You found yours, Kurt?
Yeah. Ephesians 2:20. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Verse 21. In whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit.
Amen. Pope?
To whom coming a living stone, cast away indeed as worthless by men, but with God chosen, precious. Yourselves also, as precious as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ.
That's what we mean by they were being edified. They were being built up in the Spirit of the Lord. Now, we read these churches throughout that area. Do you know how the church got scattered? Through the persecution of Paul. They kind of got a little bit comfortable there in Jerusalem. Paul heard about them, and he started picking on them, and they spread around. And all of a sudden, out of that, God's got churches in several different areas. And so it is today. Sometimes it's good. Now, one time many years ago when we had Norman Grubb, I asked him about splits in churches. Because I think they're disastrous. I did. And I think they're sad then, I thought. And I asked Norman, what about splits? Why do they happen? He said, oh, splits are good. He said, bless the Lord for splits, because he said all churches will split sooner or later. But he said it's good, because during the split, we begin to find out where our values really are. Are our values in what we do, or who we're doing them for? Our values of what we gain, or who the gain's for. And Paul pretty well covered it this morning. It's Christ all the way. It's always Christ. So during this edification, we're built up a living body to the glory of God. And that's why we're being edified. So every time a problem came, good came out of that problem. And it's never changed too much. It's never changed. But here is the secret here about edification. It is Christ's church. That's why there's only one. He is the builder. He is the designer of this church. And he is building his church still today. Not man. One of the problems we have, we look at buildings and we say, there's the church. No, that's not. And you know that. That's not it at all. We are the church. The people in them buildings are the church. We are the church. And we are being edified and built up and brought together. Now, we've gone through some times when people left us. Different reasons. I threatened to leave a couple of weeks ago when the coffee pot wasn't working. And someone said they'd known people leave for worse, less matters, but anyhow. But it just happens. But it's not who we are, it's who he is. And if you believe God is in control of all things, that's what matters. He's in control. So they were being edified. They were being built up in the Lord. Now the next thing we're talking about, they walked in the fear of the Lord. Now that fear is not the fear that got struck in their hearts when they had problems. This fear is like a reverence for the Lord, a reverential fear. Back in Psalms is the best thing where it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. It's the beginning of the wisdom. It's the kind of fear to me. I have of not pleasing him. I want to please the Lord. And you know, I'll let you in a little secret. I have wild ideas and I have different approaches to the Lord. And the most recent one I found out, those who are the friend of the Lord get special favors. So recently I declared to be the friend of the Lord because I wanted a special favor. I don't want it yet, but I want it down the road a ways. So I'm preparing him through his scriptures. See? So that kind of fear, the fear that makes us want to be with him, the kind of fear that is reverence and it draws us to him, the fear of displeasing him, the fear of missing his presence. That's the kind of fear they were walking in. And when it says walking, it means what manner they conducted their lives in. And so it is with us today. I just, I'll tell you what, I won't say any names. But this is a true story that happened. One time, years ago, we met a person, and, well, he didn't seem kosher to our way of thinking. And he didn't do a lot of things like we did. But the brother had a strong witness in his life. And I heard a person criticizing this brother. They said, well, he don't work. He just waits before the Lord. He don't do this. He don't. Well, you know what? That person lost all they had at one time. And the person they were criticizing has prospered in the Lord. So, let's not disappoint the Lord. The thing here is walking in the fear of the Lord that we might please Him, pleasing unto the Lord. And it's the opposite of what happened in the garden. They hid from Him. Now then, we want to rush to Him. And rightly so, we do. So what manner do we cut our... We have a good conduct here. We come expecting to see the Lord. And that is a universal reality among you people and all of us here this morning. We come knowing we're going to meet God. But we also knowing I'm going to meet Him in you and in you and in you. And it seems like every time one of us walks in, the presence grows greater. But upon that, the real true presence of the living God is coming. And that's what it means walking in the fear of the Lord. We conduct ourselves knowing that if we do so, the Lord is faithful. And He is faithful. And we need to know that. And I want to just make a statement right here about us, right here. And I'm not making this lightly. I've prayed about this, and I know I'm right. We are as healthy right now, spiritually, as we've ever been. Now, that's a fact. I'm going to say it again. We are as healthy spiritually we've ever been. We've had a few people leave us. We've had this to happen. We've had this. But out of this, we have grown strong in the Lord. And the Lord has been in our presence more than ever. And that's good. That is what is the thing about walking in the fear of the Lord. Now, the next thing they had here is the comfort of the Holy Spirit. They were comforter. The comfort. Now, in John 14:16, it says, I will send you another helper. Some translation says an advocate. Some translations says the comforter. And I didn't know this till this week. I looked that word comforter up. It doesn't come in the Greek. The word comforter comes from the Latin, which means, I think it's spelled F-O-R-T-I-S, fortis. It means to make you brave. Now, sometimes when we hear the word comforter, we think the Holy Spirit is going to comfort us during these. Well, He does, but He makes us brave instead. He makes us so we can face all the issues without defeat. That's what the comforter for. Parakeet is a Greek word. It means one come alongside to aid you. Well, I like the aid of coming alongside, but I like the idea, too, that He lives within us. And He dwells within us. And He helps us. And so that's it. Now, the next thing I want to mention about the comforter is according to 2 Corinthians, we are sealed in the Holy Spirit. He's come as our promise of things yet to come. Seal. Now, that word seal, I've tried to think about what the word seal, you know, there's a stamp, that's a seal, there's this and that. The best thing I can think about is for you men, if you've got an automobile, the back axle has a seal in it. And the seal is to keep the oil in and the dirt out. And that's kind of like the Holy Spirit. He has sealed us with the anointing of Himself within us and to keep the world out of us. Now then, if you come around saying you've been tempted of the Lord all week, well, I get nervous. You're living too close to the edge. You live and walk in the Holy Spirit. The enemy has to deal with him. And I don't have to deal with him. The Lord will deal with that, see. The seal of the Holy Spirit is to keep us and keep the other out. And He does a good job. Also, corporately, there's a sealing too. There's a bond among us in the Holy Spirit that is unbreakable. It can't be penetrated. Somebody might say something to me about a brother or a sister, and it goes off my back like water because I know that brother and sister. And I know who they're about. And it don't matter what they say or look like. I know who they are. So there's a bond and a seal that comes with the Holy Spirit that brings us together. That's why I like the words sister. And I like the word brother. And you know what that word means, don't you? Born of the same Spirit. That's why we have this bond. We're born by this. When Jesus said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must be born of the Spirit. You must be born again. We are in the family of God. We are firstborn. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord. And that is a bond that can't be broken. There's a bond that gives us strength, that gives us all these things. And you know, that's why sometimes when we say, I feel the strength of your prayers. It's true, we do. It's true, we do. And sometimes we don't even have to ask people, how many times has the Holy Spirit called you to pray? And sometimes you don't even know what you're praying, but it don't matter. Sometimes you may hear about later on what that was about, and sometimes you may not. But pray. When the Holy Spirit moves upon you, now that's walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Now, the next thing about this Holy Spirit is, the Bible says, don't grieve. Don't grieve the Spirit. How can you grieve the Spirit? A lot of you have done it. Sooner or later, probably, all of us has done it. That's sad. One way that irritates me a little bit, on a Sunday morning, when one of you has a testimony or something to say, you sit there and don't say it. You're not only hurting me, but you're grieving the Holy Spirit. Now, we know we're a corporate body here, and corporate means I need you and you need me. And you're robbing me if you don't give up and give it. You might think, now see, here's how you give. Oh, somebody else, they know that. The Lord will get the service done anyhow. No. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. One year, I told this story a lot of times. Many years ago, I used to go to a church service on a Sunday night way up in Pennsylvania. And it was a Spirit-filled church service. It was a Presbyterian church, and you had to get there early. You've heard me say this before, to get in. And it was charismatic. You didn't know what was going to happen there. And that pastor very seldom did anything. But I found out later, he did a lot. He had the ability to keep that service moving in the Holy Spirit. And if something was out of order, he'd stop it. If something wasn't getting in order, he'd call on somebody and get it going again. And we were sitting there one night, and me, I'm a front row person. We got there early. And a person got up, a lady got up, and I've told this before, and began to dance. And I looked right at the pastor. I thought he was going to set her down. But he didn't. She danced. She danced like a ballet. Now, I don't know much about ballet, but she danced, I thought, beautifully. Found out later, she never took a dancing lesson in her life. She was not a ballet. She did not dance ballet. And yet he knew that. And it was so beautiful and it was so edifying. Now, I'm not promoting these big physical things, but sometimes I think right here, sometimes you have something and you sit on it. Now, I don't expect you to get up and dance unless the Lord does, but I do expect you to kind of share what's going on in your heart. Now, I said this was relative. This is about us today, right? Now, I have a gift, and you know that. I have the gift of discerning. And some I don't discern all things, but sometimes I can discern things very sharply. And years ago, I used to try to call people out. But sometimes I discern, and I don't call you out anymore, but I start looking around. I don't know who it is. And then when I spot that person, I'll keep my eye on you. I know you got something to give. And the Spirit just gets depressed in me when you don't get up. Do you believe that? How many of you believe that? Raise your hand. Hey, you believe that? You see, you're cheating us. But worse than all, you're cheating the corporate body. And I want you to all pray about this. You say, I don't have a gift. You may not have a gift, but you got a function. You're a part of this body. And if God put you in here, and He has, then you got a function. Young boys, listen to me. You got a function. And if you feel like functioning some morning, get up and function. Now, I'm probably going to get in trouble here, but I'll do it anyhow. I don't like to say what I do, but I do pray. And my body's giving me more time praying than it is anything else right now. But nevertheless, when I come to your family, I sense something. And I watch your family, and I watch your boys. And sometimes I want you to talk to your older brother when you get home. I sometimes think you boys cheat us a little bit. I know you're setting on things, and I wish you'd pray about sharing them sometime. And I heard your oldest son pray not many weeks ago, and man, it went off in me. And he only prayed a few words. And later on, someone else said, did you hear that prayer? And I said, that was the anointing of the Lord on it. And boy, I pray that the person heard that prayer, yielded to it. Because it was the exact thing that was needed. But he didn't. He edified us that morning. He prayed. And so it is with all of you. The reason I think it's relative, because I know that all of you in here, many of you, has a powerful testimony. Sooner or later, maybe only a few words. And I want you to start being, as my cliche is, I picked it up from Stephen Kong, to be before the Lord about it. Be before the Lord about it. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Now there's one other thing, and this is important, about the Holy Spirit, praying in the Spirit. Now, most all of us can say prayers, but there comes a time when the Holy Spirit will descend on you privately, and He asks you to begin to pray. Don't question, just begin to pray. Just begin to pray. Sometimes you will know what you're praying for. Rarely you might even know who you're praying for, but sometimes you won't. And you might be interceding for us right here. You might be called of the Holy Spirit to intercede for His corporate body here in Bridgeville. Now, this is important because I'm going to tell you why in a minute. First of all, I want to give you an example that happened in my life. When I was in Bible school, I used to be, my first class was 7. I got done at noontime. And then I was walking up a hill. And all of a sudden, I didn't know what was going on. All of a sudden, this thing came on me that I should pray. And I started praying. And all of a sudden, I realized I was praying for my mother. And I realized all of a sudden, down in Delaware, my mother was in trouble. Physical danger. And I prayed like I never, and I just stopped. And I just prayed. And all of a sudden, it lifted. Just like that. And I knew Mom was all right. Well, if I'd have had a phone, I'd have called her. But we didn't even have a phone up there then. But I went home 2 weeks later, and I told Mom about the date. Now, this is just the Lord teaching me. And she told me that a knock came on the back door, and she was going to the dog, and there was a person staying in there knocking on the door. She didn't know who he was, and a fear came over, and she didn't answer the door. Almost the same time I was praying for Mom. See? Now, another time I prayed in the Spirit, And I was asked to pray, and I've told you about this. I was in a meeting, went up front, and I was praying, and the pastor walked by and hit me on the shoulder and said, "Would you pray for this church?" And man, my mouth flew open, and I started praying for that church like you would. And I'm sitting there laying on my knees thinking, man, this ain't me, but this is good. This is the way we ought to pray. That was my beginning of praying in the Spirit. On this issue with my mother, we had the man we called the prophet of school. He was. He wasn't. There's only one prophet. That's Christ. But he was a young prophet in the Lord. But I asked him about my experience, and he told me. He explained to me what that was. He also said, now look, don't go thinking you're important just because the Holy Spirit. He said, he's training you. And if you think that was something, you're going to have problems ahead of you and blessings. And he's been right. But it's okay. It's the Holy Spirit. So if you feel a need to pray, now I'm not a person of great discipline. If I feel like doing it, I do it. If I don't, I won't. That's just about the way it is. And that's, I'm not saying that's good. I'm just saying that's the way I am. But there is some disciplines that I do maintain in my life. And I don't have a time, a day, that I'm going to sit down and pray. I don't do that. But here's what I do. I make sure every morning, before I get out of bed, I'll say, Lord, if there's anything I need to know and pray for today, you tap me on the shoulder. I make sure that is settled before me and the Lord. And I might be driving my car, I might be working, I might be doing it, and all of a sudden, I know to stop. And I know to start praying. Most of the time, I don't know who or why, but I do it. Now, sometimes people say, well, why pray if you don't know what you pray? You don't have to know what you pray. The Bible says, with groanings, the Holy Spirit will pray through you. See, the Holy Spirit is in us, but he needs us to express himself. So don't grieve the Holy Spirit. If you feel to pray, pray. Now, the reason I'm saying that is because the next thing, I don't know what I did with it, they were built up. It didn't say built up. I said that. The Bible says they were multiplied. Now, here's where I want you to pay attention to me. Here's where it's relative. I made a statement a while ago, we are about as healthy as we've been in quite a while, spiritually. Thank the elders, they're faithful to pray for us, they're faithful to me, but thank every one of them. The elder is no more important than you are right now. He's just somebody who got stuck with an office that he probably didn't wish he had sometimes. But nevertheless, we're here. And listen to me. The Lord wants to add. He wants to multiply. Here. I know what I'm talking about. But it's going to take a season of prayer before the Lord. It's going to have, you have to volunteer to the Holy Spirit to pray as the Holy Spirit will lead you to pray. Because in this book, in the new church, guess who added to the church? God added daily. So don't pray who, just pray that God adds who he wants us to be with.
Amen.
Amen. There are souls out here that needs to be reached. And if the Lord reaches them through us or others, they need to have a place to be. Now, I firmly believe this with all my heart. Sometimes earth has to move so heaven can move. Earth begins to move things in heaven. This is an earthly movement, but heaven will join part of it. This is relative. This is for us today. Now,
Now, if I was to tell you God loved you, you know that. And our brother put it pretty well this morning. I never heard it put that way before. It just struck a chord in my heart. In the world, soldiers die to save the king. In our world, the king died to save us. Now that's not. But he's building his body too. And he don't want us just to take this lightly. It's his body. If you're joined here, it's because he brought you here. Bless God that you were God wants you to be. So, we need to be seriously before the Holy Spirit, walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, that he might add unto us who he will. Some come back some more, but there's a lot of newness. Amen. Now, I hope you don't think I just did this because I do things. I didn't. I had been before the Lord and the Holy Spirit about this for quite a while. I have no doubts about what I've said this morning. Yesterday when I went to one of my places, and I was before the Lord, a doubt came. And I went, praise the Lord. Because I knew where the doubt came from. And I know if the enemy wants to plant doubt in my heart, I know that's exactly what God wants me to do. Because the enemy don't want me to do it, and God does. And I rejoiced in the Lord for the doubt. The doubt fleed, haven't come back since. Don't expect it to come back. And on that strength, this is why I'm sharing what I'm sharing this morning. Precious Lord, loving Heavenly Father, we have done our best, but that's not good enough. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the worship service this morning. And Lord, we thank you for the kind and attentive hearts that's been here this morning. I've never seen so much attention in my life. So Lord, we know that the Holy Spirit is dealing with us. Lord, make us yielded vessels unto the Spirit. And Lord, make everyone aware that they have an important function here in this body, because it's your body. And Lord, let us not worry about gifts for a while, but for functions. We have gifts in place. We need some more functioning members. So, Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit reveal to each and every one of us. And, Father, teach us to pray in the Spirit for your corporate body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, praise the Lord for your attention this morning. It's been extremely attentive, and I praise the Lord for that. And amen. If there's no other announcements or anything, consider ourselves dismissed. Yes. Amen.